It's me, SpongeBob. Here's a message for you.
Hello, it's me, Joel. So basically, apparently at some point I said to Howerton, "What is this? Howerton Computer's Deadly Animal Sanctuary?" Well, apparently he liked that idea and started drawing up plans for it and made a design and uploaded that design to TeePublic. So, if you want a t-shirt that says Howerton Computer's Deadly Animal Sanctuary, you can actually buy one now by going to battlebird.productions/merch. I'm not exactly sure why you would want that, but if you did, that is how you'd get it. And I'm only telling you this because apparently we actually get paid for a bit of everyone that sells. So, yeah, go for it if you want to. There's also yellow sub designs, of course, Automnicon logos. And, yeah, they're pretty cool with Vadis. They're pretty good. So, yeah, battlebird.productions/merch. Or click on the link attached to this message.
Thanks for sticking around. I hope you didn't mind. Anyway, here we go.
Microbytes, a WeFix Space Junk miniseries. Episode 4, Killer Queens.
So this is what we got.
Okay, yeah, rolling. Sound speed. Killer Queens documentary. Day one. Take 5. And action.
Is this really necessary?
It humanizes us.
I feel like saving everyone from the giant killer robots humanized us.
Should I? Keep rolling. Okay, so the robots. Let's talk about those. Could you tell us how you managed to achieve your victory over them? Many had tried and failed, and they were rapidly becoming more deadly.
I mean, it's a matter of public record.
Of course, but they want to hear it from us.
Fine. Right. So, we managed to steal a toolbox from some mysterious visitors who came to visit Barbod. Walter. It was complex, but I figured out enough from my previous study of the robots and the clues that I had gathered from the toolbox that there was a way to alter their behavior.
Because they weren't really thinking killers, just machines following an etiquette.
See, that's something I know the public have had some trouble with in the time since, that the robots weren't acting of their own volition. Could you tell us a bit more about it?
So they weren't a big invading force. They weren't here to destroy us.
They certainly looked like they were.
But it was all a trick. They were all here to make Walter look like a big hero. They were just here to stroke his ego and make him feel important.
And how do you react to the public outcry of your sparing of Walter?
I thought this was a fluff piece.
That wasn't on our list of approved questions.
Hey, we're on your side. Come on, I'm just curious. We'll keep the cameras rolling. You can decide whether to cut the footage afterwards. Why did you decide not to execute Walter?
Walter was a sad, lonely little man with a literal god complex. He is being punished. He just wasn't executed. He still, for some reason, has his loyalists. An admittedly tiny band who seem to think he's been set up. We weren't going to risk turning him into a martyr.
So now he works as a cleaner, and gardener, and general handyman.
Although he has expressed an interest in studying accountancy.
And your decision to resolve the war in a non-violent manner?
If you had the ability to avoid bloodshed, wouldn't you?
Well, there are some that say that as female leaders...
Excuse me?
Some people. I wouldn't necessarily count myself among their number, but some people have been saying that we've swung too far from the masculine to the feminine. that your actions
gone from a fake feudal system controlled by a fraudster to a world in recovery.
And what do you mean by too feminine?
Well, there are those who have argued that anyone who was amongst Walter's loyalists deserved...
Up until we escaped, we were Walter's loyalists. We were all terrified, and he took advantage of that. Yes, there are a few people who have chosen to retain their position. But I don't think that terrified people following the only thing that seems capable of saving them deserves the punishment you seem to think it does.
All right, then. Okay. What's it like being two queens? Lots of decorating challenges in your new castle? And the clothing you're wearing is,
how about I redecorate
your... Okay, back to the topic of the robots, I think. Daphne, if you could just put that... There we go. Those cups are delicate, and we don't want to break any more of them.
I'm sorry, I'm just... He's not exactly taking things seriously.
Why don't we discuss our plans for the future? Daphne, honey?
Right. So, we've discovered that using the components from the robots, we can actually create some technology far more advanced than what we were capable of before. We've put them to work in agriculture, plowing fields, while the workforce is focused on rebuilding, with more of the machines aiding with the transport of building materials, which means we're building at record speed. We've obviously had setbacks, seeing as Walter destroyed most of our infrastructure, but I think that we'll be reaching our previous level of technology this year. And then when that's sorted...
Perhaps we'll look outwards.
Perhaps we'll look at taking revenge.
Revenge?
Well, on close examination, we found a maker's mark. The manufacturers of the machines that wrecked our planet.
So, whoever or whatever Automnicon is...
will be coming for it eventually.
Cut the last part. Air the rest.
In the fourth episode of Microbytes, a We Fix Space Junk miniseries, Flora was played by Jordan Cobb. Daphne was played by Julia Schifini. The interviewer was played by Chris Montague, and the director was played by Hedley Knights. The programme was written by Beth Crane and produced by Hedley Knights for Battlebird Productions. This season is dedicated to all of our patrons, and this episode in particular is dedicated to Michael Beckwith. Visit battlebird.productions to support the show or buy merch from our store. In next week's Microbyte, Fringo takes on his next Automnicon mission, and it may be his hardest yet.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
I'm Jonathan Pezza, the creator of the Curious Matter anthology, and I'm betting you've probably never heard anything like our show. We adapt stories from authors like Philip K. Dick, Andre Norton, and Robert Bloch into binaural audio movies that transport you to new worlds.
Hey, get him out of here!
That's it? You're banned for life. What's with you Braxians and lasers? Seriously.
I told you downtown was a bad idea.
In our brand new season, we explore farther into the what-ifs.
You think, in these instances, that somehow simply by believing things are different, they changed.
Doubt.
I don't follow.
I doubt something and, they don't change per se. They cease to ever have been.
We delve deeper into the realms of horror and science fiction.
Nerves of steel, boys.
James, sir, please. There's no need for this.
I do not believe that whatever that is can understand you.
Robert! I know you are in there somewhere. If you are, we are...
You made it through the barrier!
It's got a hold of me!
It's dragging him out!
Damn! Beast! If I could just get to my knife!
Well, that's new.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts. So sit back, grab your popcorn, and listen to the Curious Matter Anthology today.